Good evening, everybody. It's wonderful to see everyone out this evening. I'd ask you to take your Bibles and open them up to Jonah, the first chapter. Jonah chapter 1. And we'll be reading a little bit from there in just a moment. I'd like to say thank you to Brother Dave for the well-worded prayer on all of our behalves, and Brother Marty for leading us in singing so well. How great a Redeemer we do have. That's a very encouraging and uplifting song. And, we think about our Redeemer and the wonderful things that He's done for us, so many things He blesses us with. And we have to think about what we owe Him, what we should do for Him, what the responsibilities that we have according to Him because of so many wonderful things He's given to us. And that's what we kind of want to take a look at this evening, the responsibilities that we have. In our lives, we have responsibilities in many areas. We have responsibilities at work. We have things we have to do at school. We have to do things around our house. You name it, you've probably got some responsibilities in some area of your life. If we think about the word responsibility, a little bit of this Uncle Bruce touched on this morning, the word means being able or equipped to give a proper response. And when we get caught up in these worldly responsibilities, sometimes we lose focus on what is most important, what we need to be focusing on, and that is our responsibilities to God. This evening, we need to focus on the idea that each and every one of us in this room, each and every person we run into in our daily lives, has an individual responsibility to God. We all have the task given to us that we need to make sure that we are always ready and able to give the proper response to whatever situation we find ourselves in. And there are a number of people before services this evening that told me they were looking forward to hearing me speak. I'm really encouraged by those words, but if I'm speaking anything other than the Word of God, you don't need to be hearing that. And if I'm speaking the Word of God, then it's God's wonderful mind that's being directed to you. And that's what I want to focus our thoughts on this evening. We want to look at a number of principles from God's Word that give us an idea of where we need to focus our minds as far as responsibilities are concerned. And just to give you an idea of what we're going to be looking at, beginning with Jonah, we're going to look at three examples in the negative sense of responsibilities. Three examples of people who forsook their responsibilities, who didn't do what God expected of them. Next, we're going to take a look at a couple of our responsibilities as God outlines them for us, a couple of things that God would have us to do. And that could take us all night, but I'm only going to go through a few points there. And finally, we're going to look at a few positive examples of those who fulfilled the responsibilities that God had given to them. As I said, the first part here, we're going to look at Jonah. He's probably the best-known example of someone who forsook the responsibility that he was given. Beginning in the first book of Jonah, the first chapter in verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now, as we progress reading through the story of Jonah here, we see that there were a number of reasons that he had for dismissing and running from the responsibilities God gave him. But if we think about it, he had a very clear understanding of what God wanted him to do. He says in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." All he had to do was to go to this city and tell them how bad they were being. That's what God told him to do. And for a number of reasons, That scared him to death, and he chose to run in the opposite direction. And that can sometimes be our response to things. We encounter a situation that we find threatening or overwhelming, and it's, well, I guess we kind of describe a panic response to things as a fight or flight. And Jonah obviously didn't want to fight. He didn't want to raise the courage necessary to do what God asked him to do, so he decided to tuck his tail between his legs and run as far away as he possibly could. So we need to look to Jonah for this negative example. We need to remember to not run from the responsibilities God has given to us. If you would turn back to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, as we look through the New Testament, we see Moses mentioned a number of times as a man of great faith and endurance. But as we see throughout the Old Testament, the examples God gives us, we understand that the best people that God considered righteous had their flaws. They were imperfect, and they failed in a number of ways. And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, we see one of these shortcomings of Moses. Exodus 3, verse 11, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" God had given Moses the responsibility and the direction that he was going to go to Egypt and to lead his people out of bondage. He was going to be their deliverer of the time. And being such, he would have to go directly and confront the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. And Moses got a little shaky. He said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? I'm just some guy. I'm a Jew. I was lucky enough to be raised in the house of Pharaoh, but I'm just a man. I can't compete with somebody who claims to be a god. I can't do this. I'm not good enough." If you turn over possibly a page or two to the fourth chapter, there was another reason that Moses had to be afraid here. In the fourth chapter of Exodus, verses 10 through 12, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since thou hast spoken to thy servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.' And the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and I, even I, will be your mouth and teach you what you are to say.' But he said, 'Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever thou wilt.'" I know I've seen myself do this in a number of situations. We give one of these two answers to God. We are presented with an opportunity to talk to somebody about God or to make a stand for him or to point out error to others, and the devil starts throwing thoughts into our mind. "Who am I? I'm just, you know, some guy. I just happened to make it through college. I'm working as a teacher, you know, trying to communicate some math ideas to some students that don't want to think about being in school. What good am I? If they won't listen to me, why should anybody else?" You know, those are thoughts that could easily run through my mind and do on occasion. We could also think, as Moses spoke in the fourth chapter there, "I don't have eloquent words. I don't have the best vocabulary. I don't know the right thing to say in the right situation." God answers both of these things to us. If we think about not being good enough, I guess the only answer that I could give to that is God must think that you're the right person for the job, or he wouldn't give you the opportunity to do something. Whether it's talking to one of your coworkers or one of your classmates or someone you meet at the grocery store, whoever it may be, God put you in that situation for some reason. So you must be the man or woman that God chose for the job. And then as far as thinking that we're not blessed with the ability to do something that we might think, God gave Moses the answer right there. Moses said, I can't speak well. I stutter. I trip over the words. I can't communicate these ideas. And God says, who made you? Who made your mouth? Who made your ears? Who made your eyes? Who made all of you? I did. I know what you can do. I know your limitations. I know your abilities. I know everything about you. And I told you you can do this, so you must do it. God tells us the same thing every morning when we get up. Sometimes we don't think that we're going to make it through another day. We might wake up and, oh, I don't feel like I can do anything today. I'm not going to make it. Whatever, you know, whatever case we find ourselves in, whatever excuse we would come up with, God has given us the abilities. He has given us the strength, and He is the only one who can supply us with the strength that we need to make it through these things. So as Moses tried to shirk his responsibilities, we need to remember that God understands us, and He puts us in the situations we find ourselves to be His servants. So we need to look to fulfill the responsibilities that we have in these areas. If you would turn over to Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew chapter 25, there is one New Testament example we want to look at before we examine a couple of the specific responsibilities God wants us to work on in our lives. Matthew chapter 25, actually verses 14 through 30, are what is commonly referred to as the parable of the talents. There's a man who was given 10 talents, one who was given 5, and one who was given only 1. And their master went away and expected them to work with their talents. And when he returned from his journey, he would see what they had done with them. The first two have answered, and beginning in verse 24, we read about the servant with only one talent. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 24. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Sometimes we get caught up in the idea that, you know, there aren't many abilities that we have that we can work with for God. We see, people who very well lead singing, like Harold and Marty, get up here and pick good songs and lead them in such a way that we focus on the words and understand what we're singing, songs of praise to God. We are directed in prayer by so many who are able to lead our minds in those ways. There are people who get up here and make an effort to speak to you from the Word of God, like myself and Keith, Uncle Bruce, and others. And, you know, if this isn't something that you do, you might think that, well, I can't preach, I can't lead singing, I can't lead public prayers, what good am I? That is probably one of the biggest weapons the devil has against us. Even if you do have only one talent, God wants you to use it, to make use of it. I guess we could say every little bit counts. It doesn't matter how great or how small the abilities that you have are. If God has given you the ability to do something, then we must do it. The slave here was rebuked for hiding his talent. He didn't do anything with it. He didn't make use of what he was given. and all that he had was taken away from him and given to another. There are so many things, you know, that we could list that are sometimes considered by people to be small things, but they can mean so much. It just makes so big of an impact on people when someone's sick or in trouble or have family members in the hospital, and you come and visit them. I was fortunate enough to go visit with Sister Ann yesterday morning, and she just looked so happy to see us there. And I'm sure that helped out a lot. And I'm sure any one of you who have been sick and had people visit or bring over a meal or a phone call or a card, you know what that means for you. That you know how encouraging that can be. Don't ever let anyone, especially the devil, get the idea in your head that your talent is not important enough. It doesn't matter what you can do, you need to make use of it. You can't just hide it in the sand like this one talent man did. We need to make use of these things for God. Okay, those are some of the things that we need to avoid doing. We need to look to these people and always remember these examples so that we don't follow in their footsteps. But what are some of the responsibilities that God specifically gives us? What are some of the things that we need to work on in our lives? If you would turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Ephesians chapter 6. I've kind of broken this down into two categories here. There are a couple of points that I want to look at real quick that are our responsibilities to other people, to other Christians, to our neighbors, effectively. And then we'll take a look at a couple of responsibilities that are more God-centered. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So we see here that children and parents have responsibilities to each other. Children are to obey, honor, respect their parents, to listen to the things that they say. And it says here in verse 2 that this is the first commandment with a promise. When children obey their parents, we often forget that they're telling us things for our own good. They want us to live a long and prosperous life, and if we heed the things that our parents tell us, then that will be the outcome. On the other side of it, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If we think back to the Old Testament, the instruction given the Israelites in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, that they were to teach the word of the law of God to their children all day long, when they got up, when they sat down, when they went to bed, when they woke up, when they were eating, when they're on the way, you name it, they were supposed to teach it to them. Parents have a responsibility to train their children to follow God. And the underlying idea behind all of this is that there is love there. The love is what is behind the respect. The children should obey the parents because they understand the love the parents have for them. And this all goes back to Jesus' answer to the two greatest commandments: love God with every ounce of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. Your parents are your neighbors because they live in the next room. And your children are your neighbors because they live in your house with you. So you got to love each other. That's one of the things that we need to think about. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 through 30, we're not going to read all of those verses there, but you can look at them again if you'd like. We've heard them many times before. We're talking about the idea of husbands and wives, the relationship there. The relationship is being compared to that between Jesus and the church, the great love that is supposed to be shown, the understanding. And I'm learning all about that every day. There's a lot of growing involved there, and obviously it takes time and a lot of effort, but there is love that is supposed to be at the root of everything, directing all of our actions in that. If you would turn over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, we'll look at verses 23 through 25. This section we're looking at, we're talking about the relationship that we have as Christians to fellow Christians. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We often go to this passage to say, don't miss services. You have to be here every time the doors are open. That's totally true, but that completely misses the point. We are to want to be together in order to encourage each other. We are to get together to lift each other up, to build each other up, to learn more about God's Word straight from the Word and from each other. We are to get together to consider each other, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works, love and good deeds. We have to know each other, and if we don't come together, how are we going to know each other? You only know somebody by being around them, by talking to them, by getting an understanding of who they are, and you have to be exposed to other people to get that understanding. When you have that understanding, you can encourage. You know how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So as Christians to our fellow Christians, we have a responsibility to be with each other, to encourage each other, to serve God. That is a primary responsibility that we have. Looking at a couple of points that focus our minds on a responsibility to God, I'm just going to mention the passages and the idea of them. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter in verse 15, we are to study God's Word. We are to get into the mind of God in order to know how to accurately use it. And this kind of goes back to what we talked about with Moses. He complained that he didn't have the words. He wasn't able to speak the right things. We can't either unless we know what God wants us to do, so we have to study the Word in order to understand how to share His Word with others. And from the Scripture reading this evening, it was 1 Peter 3:15, that we are to study to have an idea so that we can give an answer to everyone who asks about the hope that is within us. So we need to study God's Word. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, we are to long for God's Word as newborn babies long for milk. If you think of that idea, a little kid, when they're hungry, you don't have to wonder about that. They let you know, and they'll whine and holler and throw a fit until you fulfill that need. That's the same idea that it's talking about. We should be so overwhelmed with that craving for God's Word that we cry and throw a fit when we can't have it. That's an attitude that we need to have to show our responsibility to God. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16. We're to be the salt of the earth, a light set on a hill, shining and carrying God's Word to others, both by our words and by our actions. We are to be the best examples that we possibly can of a Christian trying to serve God. Luke, the 19th chapter, and verse 10, Jesus said that He came to seek and save that which was lost. And what better a description of the job of a Christian could we have than just that, to seek those who are lost and give them the Word of God, which can save them. So that's one of our responsibilities. We have to seek those who are lost and take God's Word to them. If you would turn over to John, the 21st chapter, there is one one passage that I want to look at from this section briefly. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 20. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." We each have the responsibility to follow God, to follow in the way Jesus has led us, to follow the commands and directions he has given us. It doesn't matter what anybody else around you is doing, we have to follow the way that God has directed us. And then finally from this section, we're familiar with the passage in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 10, that if we're faithful unto death, we'll receive a home in heaven. We have the hope of heaven assured to us. But we have to live a faithful life. We have to do all that we can to adhere to the Word of God, to be obedient to Him in order to have that hope of a home in heaven. If we think about some examples from the Bible of those who would be positive examples, those we want to follow in the footsteps of, we had an excellent explanation this morning on my first point, Joseph. And specifically, I was thinking about the 39th chapter, where day by day, Joseph had been taunted by Potiphar's wife, and nothing from the household of Potiphar had been withheld from him except his wife. But she continually and daily, day after day, was getting after him to fornicate, to do the things that would be not only a sin against Potiphar, but against God. And Joseph recognized these things. So what was his response? He ran. Now, there's a little bit of a contrast here. We talked about Jonah running earlier, but he was running away from what God would want him to do. Joseph was running because that was what God wanted him to do. So if we're studying and we're learning and growing in these ideas, we'll understand and be better able to respond properly with this idea of responsibility. We will be prepared to recognize whether we need to run from a situation because it is a sinful thing and one that would cause us to be lost, or whether we should run to a situation to fulfill God's word, to be prepared to do the things that He would have us to. We could look at the example of Daniel and his friends as they were in captivity in the city of Babylon. There are so many points from that book that we could, you know, spend four or five lessons talking about those ideas, but the two main things that I want us to think about is that they never compromised, and they always looked to God for all that they did, for all that they could do. Even in the face of everyone bowing to that huge golden statue, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood firm. They stood up for God. And that's something that we often have difficulty doing, but we need to look to examples like these to encourage us in these things. If you would take your Bibles and open them to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 36. As we think about what God wants us to do, the responsibilities He has given us, and we're thinking specifically here about positive examples to follow after, what better example is there than Jesus? And I chose this passage to look at because it shows his response to a situation he was confronted with. And can help give us some direction as we think about what we should do in situations that are difficult for us to deal with sometimes. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. We all know why Jesus was so grieved at this point. He realized that it was but a very short time before he was to be crucified, before he was to go through a mockery of a trial, to be beaten and spat upon, to have his back laid bare and beaten with whips so that he was just bleeding and have the crown of thorns driven into his head. And he recognized that the physical pain of all of this probably would not be the worst of what was to come. He realized that if he was to drink this cup, he was going to be offered up on the cross and bear the weight of the sins of each and every one of us. And being that Jesus was born a man, that he lived a life as we do, he had feelings and understood the pain and suffering that we endure and was not looking forward to this. The number of times when I was younger and did really stupid things I wasn't supposed to and then got caught, I knew that I was either looking forward to a whooping from mom or dad, and as soon as I realized that was coming, that was a good time for prayer right then. And I'm sure most of you have been in that same spot if you think back to your life at some point. That's exactly where Jesus was, except he had a greater understanding of that than we could possibly hope to. He knew that not only was he going to bear the weight of our sins, but he was going to, because of that, have to endure separation from God for a time. And that was the great difficulty that he had to go through. He had to separate himself from his Father in order to fulfill the responsibility that he had. And if we think about it, that was such a great, great sacrifice. He paid the price that our sins incur. And it's all because he loved us. He loved us so much that he did not want a single one of us to be lost. He wants for each and every one of us in this room, me, you, anybody in here, he wants us all to be with him in heaven. That's the reason he endured all these things. He understood his responsibility, and though he had great pain to look forward to, he said, "If this cup can pass from me, please, please let it be so, but if not, then your will is to be done." When we have great difficulties in our lives, when we face tremendous problems, when we're looking for the answer that we need to a problem, we need to let go and let God. We need to look to God for the help. We need to look to do His will. And only in that will we have the fulfillment and the strength that we need to make it through things. God is the only one who can give us the strength to make it through our problems. And Jesus gave us the perfect example. We don't often want to fulfill the responsibilities we're given. That doesn't matter. we have the responsibilities given to us by God, and we need to fulfill those, just as Jesus did. If you would take out your songbooks and open them up to the Song of Invitation. Almost persuaded. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. There is no day more convenient than now. If you have never begun to realize and fulfill your responsibilities to God by changing your life and putting away the sinful practices that you've been a part of and been baptized into His body, then you need to look to fulfill that responsibility now. Don't wait for a more convenient day, because we don't know if a more convenient day will come. Now is the convenient time. Everything is in readiness. We're all here to rejoice with you. Water's prepared. There's clothes prepared. Everything is ready. It doesn't get more convenient than this. And it has not been so long ago that I don't remember how difficult it is to step out into the aisle and walk down. That takes a great amount of courage to do. But that is a responsibility that you have at this time. And if you've taken those steps and you've fallen back into the world, you've not been fulfilling the responsibilities that God's given you as you should, then you need to make a change in your life as well. You need to get back to God. If we can help you in these things, don't say that you're almost persuaded. Heed the call today. Fulfill your responsibility now. If we can help you, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.